She likes this song. Bless me by the river.
Amen. What a meeting that'll be.
Been singing that all week, me and Eric.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I heard of a city once on.
God of the dead, he's God of the living. Glory to God. Rick said on this side, we say there they go. On the other side, they say here they come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm just glad done it all. I'm glad God done it all. Amen.
Yeah.
He didn't leave nothing for me to mess up. He said, occupied will I come. And not only occupied will I come, but praise God, he's coming for me and all those that love him. Look at his appearing. Man, we're somebody going somewhere, and hallelujah, we got somewhere to go.
That's right.
Boy, you talking about starting out a morning. I got here this morning. I got here early. Got up about 2 o'clock this morning, and evidently I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention. I run off and forgot the recorder. And we missed Sunday school this morning, but we're going to be able to record the message this morning. I was telling Brother Ed, I said, you know, I'm going to start a series this morning. I said, I didn't realize I was going to start a series. I said, I was praying about this message this morning. I was asking God's blessing on it. And He stirred my heart to go a little further than just this one message. I hate to admit this, but I kind of like it when God does that, because
Amen.
It blessed me. Not only did God was answer my prayer, because I want God to bless the efforts of this church and of this preacher and the singing and the preaching and everything that pertains to our services. There ain't nothing worse than going to a funeral home instead of going to church.
That's right.
And I want you to understand what I just said right there. When I go to a funeral home, I want to go to a funeral home. But when I go to a church service, I don't want it to be a funeral home. I don't want to go in there. And you know what? For lack of better words, come out less than I was when I went in. I want to come out shouting. Amen. And we will be mentioning a little bit about shouting today. You can be opening up your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Yesterday morning, way early yesterday morning, just so happened God had stirred my heart about this passage. And as I read it, boy, it come alive. I like it like that too. And not only did it come alive, but I felt very impressed that this is what the Lord have us to preach on this morning. Peter's mentioned there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. He said, I think it meant, brethren, while I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by way of remembrance. Every now and then we just need to be reminded what God has done for us. Amen. We need to be reminded whose we are in Christ Jesus. Yes. And we also need to be reminded where we're going.
Amen.
And it ain't going to be long. I don't believe we're going to get there. Amen.
Right.
But Amos chapter 8 verse 11, God speaking, He said, in the last days there will come a famine, not of bread, but of hearing the word of God. And we're going to read quite a bit of verses here, 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to read the first 30 verses, and I'll be commenting on a lot more in this message. But we'll get right into it because this is a pretty lengthy message. I'll do my best to cut the chase and get right with it. But 1 Samuel chapter 17, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shiloh, which belongeth to Judah. Now, did you notice where that land belonged?
Yes.
And pitched between Shiloh and Azekiah. I can't say half these words here. Azekiah and Epis-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Eli, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits, now I've never really noticed this, and a span. Now, without that span, he would have been 8.5 feet tall. But with that span, this giant's 9.5 feet tall. That means he won't fit through that door. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail or mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. That's 156 pounds, not the helmet, just the maul. That's like little chains that are hooked together. It's kind of like a chain knit coat. That coat of maul weighed 156 pounds. I got on the scales this morning, and I weighed 210, and that was without a coat of maul. and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, that's to protect his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. Now the weight of none of this is given, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. That spearhead weighed 37 pounds. I've done the math on this yesterday. So just want you to know that this is quite a threat. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy, this is a big mistake, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. I want you to know this bully's wanting to fight.
Yeah.
And they're cowering down, and this is quite a threat. I don't blame them. I probably would be too. Then Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid, and who could blame them? A 9.5 feet tall giant is asking for somebody to come out and fight with him. Now I have to admit, I'm glad there was one willing, one able. We'll get to that here in a minute. But most of these men are doing what most of us would do. They're cowering down at this threat. Now David was the son of that Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judea, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. That's Jesse had 8 sons, not David. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. Now there's 1 Shammah mentioned in this Bible, and this ain't him, but I believe he would have went out and stood against this Philistine, but it's a different Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. So for 40 days, morning and evening, he's threatening and he's provoking them, and he's somewhat of a bully. And for lack of better words, buddy's doing a pretty good job of it. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephod of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses, I'm getting hungry already, unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now there's another man in the Bible that sent his son to check on his other sons, and that was Jacob. He sent Joseph and ended up selling him. But you got 2 fathers that had enough confidence in one of their sons that they sent them to check on the others. But here David is chosen to go and bring this to the elder brothers. And it says, verse 19, now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. That's my favorite part. We're getting on the good ground now. David rose up early in the morning. I do a lot of that. And left the sheep with a keeper. You notice he didn't just leave them. He made sure they had someone watch over them. And took and went as Jesse, which is his father, had commanded him. And he came to the trench. And as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. I told you, I like a little shout every now and then. Don't bother me, y'all go ahead. I've been listening to some of these messages, and I didn't realize how many women shouted in here. I'm used to hearing Brother Ed shout, but I was amazed at how many women shouted in here. Man, I like that. Keep it up. I tell you, boy, David here, he shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. Boy, that's a turning point right there for sure.
Yeah.
And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Then the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that's come up? Surely to defile Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? I just want you to know they got his attention with that statement.
Yes.
And taketh away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now that's David's faith manifested in this statement. I want you to know he's interested now in this battle. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his elder brother, or his eldest brother, when he heard, let me see if I can read this right. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why comest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Now this is a very important verse right here, because this is my text verse right here. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? We'll go ahead and read verse 30. And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. David's interested. David's got the kind of faith that God can use.
Right.
But our text verse is verse 29.
Amen.
And David said, is there not a cause? And I'm going to preach today on a national emergency. I'll try not to be political. I'm sure I'll get into some of it, but I'll try not to. Father, we thank you for the privilege to read your word. Lord, to believe the report, to know that it's a true report. I know there's a devil down here that questions the word of God. And everything that God does, or everything that God says, the devil says, yeah, have God said. He's an adversary, a worthy adversary to discredit what we just read. But Lord, it burned in my heart and blessed me as I read this account, as I realized, Lord, it even goes on today, the intimidation and how parties, Lord, they fight one against another and boast one of another and try to somehow belittle one another. We just ask God today to just open our eyes and our understanding. Help us to redeem the times. Lord, I pray, God, not only you help me, but I pray you'll help these that are before me and these that are hearing this message by way of the internet. We give you praise and glory. Ask it to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Now, I'm going to preach a series along the lines of this topic, a national emergency. And if God be willing, next Sunday the message will come out of 1 Kings chapter 18 from verse 17 through verse 46 about Elijah withstanding 850 false prophets. But today we're preaching about David. And David here, not only has he obeyed his father, not only has he done the bidding of his father, not only is he getting criticism, and you know he's accused of being there for all the wrong reasons, David answers very clearly, and he said, is there not a cause?
Right.
Now when there's a cause, somebody needs to do something. I mean, they've been doing nothing for so long that it seems like nothing is all they know to do. And America gets like this. Sometimes I heard Melvin Sisson say one time, sometimes we get in a rut. And he said, a rut's like a grave with both ends kicked out. We need to get out. Did you notice David came down into the trench? That's kind of like the rut. We're there, but we ain't doing nothing. And that's, you know, a lot of churches today ain't doing nothing. I printed out a report of our website, and it shows how many countries and how many people have visited the website for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. And we pray to be a blessing. I pray they'll get more interested. I pray the Word of God have free course. I pray to get out there where it's needed. I pray it won't return hard. But even here, I pray the Word of God be received with gladness. Amen. David here, he declares a national emergency.
Right.
See, there ain't nothing getting done, Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
They've got a giant down here, and it looks like, you know, I mean, who could go up against a 9.5-foot giant?
Right. That's right.
Man, I can only imagine the reality of that moment. I can understand men cowering down saying, you go, you go.
Right.
There and say, how are you handling? Well, here this little ruddy lad, David, which we'll get to his description here in a minute. He's an unlikely candidate, Sister Joanne, to go. I mean, he's just a youth. It's not like he's a man of war or nothing. But I'll tell you one thing about David. He knows his God and he knows him well.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
You know what? He's got the kind of faith, Phyllis, that God looks for.
That's right.
He knows God hadn't changed.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
He knows it's all he needs.
That's right.
He finds the resources are all right there. And this giant, as intimidating as he is, he just can't get through to David. He can't get David, you know, turn his eyes away. I mean, David, he kind of says, hey, is that not a cause?
Right.
God's able to handle this national emergency.
Yes.
Now, keep up politics a little bit, you'll notice we just declared that there's a national emergency. And kind of like this scene right here, you got the critics and man, they slang him, but I had to run home and get the recorder. And I met a sheriff on the way home, and he's sitting with the radar on him. I thought, boy, I hope the Lord's with him. And anyway, make a long story short, somehow or another, he didn't pull that out even though I was running over 60. And I say that with charity. But on the way back, I met like six trucks pulling cattle trailers. And you'll tell when you get out of this service looking at my truck, I got painted it ain't mud, neither. But you know what? Even though that old wiper smeared that all over the windshield, I still had my face set like a flint. I was still determined to get here and deliver this message. I might not be nothing but the messenger boy, but I'll tell you right now, this message, oh man, we need to hear it today.
Yeah.
We've been cowering down. And you know, I hate to say it, but you know what? My pastor one time, he looked out his window at his house and he drank a good cup of coffee. Man, I had about six this morning, amen. Well, he looked out that one out there and there was a blackbird landed on a transformer on a telephone pole. My pastor said, took a big sip of coffee and he said, old boy, you just don't realize what kind of power you're landing on. At that time, God smote him. He said, neither do you, boy. He said, boy, I realize, boy, power belongs to God. Man, we're not at a loss. We're at an advantage. Amen. If we just realize, if God be for us, who can be against us? If we just realize greater is he that's in us, and he that's in the world, we can say to all the Goliaths that rise up against us, bring it on. Well, I like David's attitude. He said, is there not a cause? In other words, he's saying, y'all ain't doing nothing. What's it lose me trying? Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, buddy, he ain't backing down. He ain't cowardly. I'm telling me, he said, I'll go up against him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to get a little further here. But before I do, you see, there's a standoff in what we just read. That standoff is between verses 1 and 3. They're separated by a division. This is a power play.
Yeah.
This is one of them, you know, its own a type of standoff. And it appears that one side has the advantage. And in verse 4 through 11, you see the cause for a standoff because they got a champion. And with this champion, they just feel like they can't be defeated. And by all odds, it looks like that's true. I mean, who can go up against this 9.5-foot giant? Who can defeat them because of that? It appears they have the advantage. And it appears they can't be overthrown. And the cause of this standoff is, you know, it's kind of an unconventional advantage. They have a giant.
Yeah.
This giant, not only is big, but he's a bully, a boastful giant. He says, send somebody down here. If he can kick my butt, we'll be your servants. But if I kick his butt, y'all be our servants.
Right.
And now listen, this bully's gone for 40 days, morning and night, from one side to the other, and he's mocking the other side, and the other side from morning and evening, they're cowering down, and you know what, they're afraid. But you know what? God sends the cure. Now, in our day and time, we've got a lot of stuff like this going on right now.
Boy, we do.
I heard our president, like I said, I'll try not to get political. But he said, I'm going to declare a national emergency. He said, I'm going to be sued. He said, it's going to go to the Ninth Circuit. And it's going to go on and on and on. And I mean, they're just standing in line, you know, to come up against it.
Right.
Now, when I say that, you see, we've got political giants today. Career, corrupt. Criminal politicians that have been able to mow down anybody that stood in their way, and they ain't never seen nothing like this man here. Now, y'all don't hold this against me, but I'm a firm believer that an answer to a bunch of belly-aching Christians that have prayed, God help us, help our country, I do believe the modern-day miracle somehow or another, Trump got elected. Like I said, I'm trying not to get political. I'm getting right out of this, but it just don't make no sense to me.
Yeah.
No other way except God put him in there.
That's right.
He's run the gauntlet of accusations. They've accused him of everything.
Yeah.
Most of it's been proved it was fabricated.
Right.
Oh, by the way. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Kamala Harris talked about smoking dope, listening to Snoop Dogg and Too Mac. Unfortunately, that was 5 years before they sung those songs when she was in school. And she said she was in high school smoking dope and listening to that kind of music. I don't deny that she smokes dope. I don't deny that she listens to her music. What I'm telling you is it don't add up. That's 5 years before they ever sung the song.
Yeah.
Now, you also got... Well, I wish I kind of went on with that because I kind of fell out of home there. You got another one. Help me here, Lord. That made a statement that he got run into two guys that accused him of being a homosexual. Thank you. The Lord brought that in my memory. Ain't that amazing? My little pea brain here. God sent a little electricity down there and connected this circuit. Kind of like that light didn't work last Sunday. And you know, he says, hey, they got me. They put a rope around my neck, poured bleach on me, called me all manners of name.
Yeah.
And come out to be fabricated. Probably going to get in trouble over there.
Yeah.
But you see how this stuff goes. I mean, you gotta check this stuff out. You got to do your homework. You got to make sure you ain't deceived. The Bible talks about in the last days that men would be deceived. They'd be deceiving and deceiving.
Right.
Men of corrupt minds being deceived and deceiving others. I don't want to be either one of them. Man, I tell you right now, I'm glad I got the truth of the Word of God. I'm glad, praise God, it stood the test of time. And I'm glad when all of these atheists and these accusers of this Bible, they use the same analogy that Satan used with Eve. Yeah, God said, well, I'll be dead and this book will still be alive and it'll still go on, amen. But oh, listen, getting back to my point there, this country has failed.
Yeah.
Today, we're murdering babies. I'm talking about full term. We're butchering them and selling them.
Right.
Now, ain't nothing right about that.
No.
And there's probably going to be a terrible price for that. But I just want you to know how that happens. You got corrupt. The Bible says when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice.
Yeah.
But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. It says righteousness exalteth the nation, but sins are reproached to any people. Now getting back to old Trump real quick and I'll get off of this. Hillary said, why ain't I a heathen? I'll tell you why she wasn't a heathen. Because God put him in there.
That's right.
And you know, the FBI said, hey, we got it covered. He ain't going to get it. We got it. We got the bases covered. They know what. Hey, they're all out now. See what I mean? I mean, they call it the deep state. I'll tell you what I call it. I call it a bunch of propaganda. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't stand up against God's man. Look, the only reason I voted for Trump was because of his vice president pick, but I ain't got no regrets.
That's
I realize that no one can do the job he's doing except him. I believe God handpicked him.
Right.
And you know, God picked a murderer to bring Israel out of Egypt.
Right.
Moses killed an Egyptian.
Right.
He didn't really fit the criteria. I didn't want a preacher in the White House. I wanted someone that put America first and overthrew this corruption going on in our country.
Right.
I got to get back to the message now.
Yeah.
Listen, the cure for this standoff, it also was unconventional. Did you notice David shouted for the battle? Did you notice that in verse number 20? Man, I like to shout for the battle.
Yeah.
I like hearing them women shout. Woo! Yeah, man, I can hear it. Yeah. All right, then. He shouted for the battle. He said, hey, man, get out there and kick some Philistine butt.
That's right.
They might not have done it, but he's still shouting for me.
Yeah, that's right.
Boy, that tells me a little bit about the man. You know what I mean? Man, I was telling Brother Ed here this morning, well, a little bit I was here in Sunday school, I told him I like it when it's real.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you what, I like a real shout every now and then. I like a real tear.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, I could probably work up a tear or two. I don't want them, Mitchell. If you ever see me cry, you'll know it's God. Yeah. Right. Squeezing my heart. I don't want to put on no fake facade.
No.
Some charade. I tell you right now, if you see a tear dripping off my cheek, it's the Lord squeezing my heart. And I tell you what, it's reaction of a heart that's been touched by the hand of God. David shouted for the battle. He points out there's a national emergency there in verse number 29. And let me tell you this, he's got the courage to stand up against this giant.
He does.
And we're going to find that real quick. I didn't read this far, so we're going to go ahead and read all the way down to verse number 35. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. Now Saul's a pretty good sized fellow himself.
Yeah.
He's head and shoulders above all the rest of them. He's not no small man. I mean, he's a big old boy. He just ain't got the courage to stand up against this giant. But anyway, they rehearsed him before Saul, and he sent for him. And in this national emergency, he's pretty desperate. So he sends for this little ruddy lad. And David says to Saul, he said, now I like this terminology. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.
Yeah.
I mean, here's David's courage. He said, I'm willing to go out there and fight this bully. Listen what Saul says. And Saul says to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. Now listen, David's got more than courage. He's got a little bit of a background to go back, to go with his courage.
Yeah.
Look here, verse 34. David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. I like the latter part of this verse. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defile the armies of the living God. David said, I've got the advantage already.
Right.
That's right.
Now, it's going to get deep here in just a minute. I know y'all, it's not like this. Brother Ed was telling me this morning in Sunday school about hearing some messages, and he said he could remember them being preached back years ago. This is one of them kind of messages.
Yeah.
We just need to be reminded. We need
That's right.
We need to rehearse this battle. Be reminded how great our God is.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, He's just not mighty. He's almighty.
Amen.
And I'm telling you right now, buddy, He's there for you and He's there for me, just like He was for David.
Yeah.
Every now and then, I'll get down and I'll pray that I mean business.
That's right.
Oh, when I do, oh, what a difference it makes. Oh, my. You know, sometimes I just get down there and pray them little mealy-mouth prayers. But every now and then, buddy, I mean, it's real in my heart what I'm praying about. And heaven takes record. And I'll tell you what, buddy, it changes everything.
Yes.
But David says, seeing that Goliath had defiled the armies of the living God. Listen to this next verse. David said, moreover. In other words, he said, hey, I got a little more here, King.
Amen. Yeah.
Here's the reason I got the courage to go up against this giant. He said, and moreover, he said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He's giving glory to God.
Yeah.
He said, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with thee. He encouraged old Saul's faith just a little bit.
He did.
And he thought, well, there's a chance.
Yeah.
He said, you go, then the Lord be with you. Man, Lord, He told us to go. in all the world, Joe Henry, and preached the gospel, and I never did see a stop sign from that point on. I never did hear where he said slow down, where he said stop. He said go to all the world, preach the gospel, Mitchell. Uh-huh. Right. Sometimes I can't get time to preach. I'll just hand him a tract. I say, here, God loves you. Man, he made room for you. He made mean. Brother Jerry sung that song about the blood. Praise God through that blood. We have an entrance, an opportunity afforded us by the sacrifice of Jesus, that whosoever willeth can come and partake and receive and have eternal life granted to them by the grace of God imparted through Jesus Christ. But here Saul says, go, David, and the Lord be with you. He's getting a little confidence here. Who can deny David's statements here? But look at here. Now, he sees where they can defeat this bully. He increases Saul's faith. But Saul doesn't understand that this battle, it's not with carnal, conventional weapons. He offers David his armor.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that here in a minute. But you see, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but rather they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, but here Saul here, he says, the Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. You know, you better be careful what you go with.
That's right.
I just drove home like an idiot while ago. And I believe God, you know, our message next Sunday, we'll mention that message about God girding the loins of Elijah and him running a chariot of horses.
Yeah.
Man, I ain't never done that, but I'd like to, you know what I mean? Can you see here Elijah running in front of them horses there? So let me show you how to run. I remember one of the first things that one time this black guy got scared. He passed his horse up and said, let the man show you how to run. I can just see Elijah come up through there, and God turns his loins, and here he is out running a chair with Ahab the king in it. And he said, what was that just past us? He said, I think that was Elijah. Anyway, David, he's a saying to go. In other words, he's hesitating. Now, you'll get that sometimes in life.
Yeah, that's right.
The doctor will say to you,
right,
I've got what you need here. At least second guess it. At least say, let me pray about it. Let me tell you a terrible story. When I first got saved, I truly didn't know very much at all. But I did have faith. And they told me my uncle was dying of cancer. And I really didn't know how to pray, but I was fasting and praying for my uncle. Does anybody here know Doyle Mathis? That was my uncle, Brother Mitchell. He married my Aunt Marty. I done her funeral. So I'm praying and I'm fasting. My heart's pure. I'm pouring out prayers to God on behalf of Doyle. And Brother Jerry, for some reason or other, God put it in my heart to go over there and check on Doyle. I really don't know how all this come to be. But I do know this. I remember driving into town. At that time, they lived over on Walnut Street. I pulled in his driveway, and his neighbors standing there talking to Doyle when I pulled in the driveway. And I got out of the car, and I went over there, and I said, Doyle, I've been praying for you. And I said, I truly believe that if you bring your situation to the Lord, I believe He'll help you with it. And his neighbor said, Doyle, this boy's telling you right. That's what you need to do. Doyle looked at him. Doyle looked at me. And Carolyn, he said words that haunt me even today. His answer was no. They come out with a new pill. And I'm trusting in that new pill. I'll see his pallbearer within 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful what you go with.
That's right.
Everybody's going to tell you, no, brother, he says to you, eat an onion like an apple. Look, let God lead you in that.
Right. That's right.
I tell you, y'all, with salt.
Right.
Even if you don't, I'm going to. But anyway, let the Lord lead you.
That's right. That's right.
You tell me things, and you know what? I take it into consideration, but let the Lord lead you.
Right. That's right.
I tell you what, buddy, we got a clear course here.
Right.
David,
that's
he hesitated.
Right.
It looked like the right thing to do. I mean, here he is. He's just a little ready,
that's
lad.
Right.
He's got a helmet. He's got a sword. He's got mail.
You've got a shield.
Amen.
And here's the page and said, you know what? I ain't proved this stuff. And he took it off. You ought to learn from that. Some things you ought not go with. Some things you ought to pray about. Some things you ought to say, Lord, would you give me some counsel here? Do I need to do this? Or do I need to forbear? You know, one time David, he come home to Ziklag and it had been burnt with fire. Everybody wept and then they got mad and blamed David for what had happened. You know what the Bible said? David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Right,
amen. He said, go get an iPad. That's how they called God. Right. He called 911 God and said, Lord, shall I pursue? God said, yeah. David said, while they got you on the phone, shall I recover? God said, you'll recover all. But that's what we need to do.
That's exactly right.
We need to go with God. He had proved this honor, Rita. If he had went with it, he might not have made it. He went with what he had proved. He went with what God had already shown him was enough. I hope this sinks in here and to those that hear on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen. David, he essayed to go. In other words, he's not running with this. He's hesitating. He's really, for lack of better words, better. He's kind of in his mind meditating, Lord, is this what I need to do or not? And then he gave an answer. He said, I can't go with this. I ain't proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these. I've not proved them. And David put them off of him. All right, verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an old wooden crooked stick. He took that old shepherd's staff in his hand. And he chose him out 5 smooth stones out of the book. Someone said that Goliath had 4 brothers. He just wanted to make sure if they showed up, he'd have enough to get all of them one lick.
Yeah.
But anyway, he had 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. You know what? That scrip's important right there. Man, I tell you what, he's standing on the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, if you'll stand on the Word of God, God will stand with you. He'll honor his Word. And his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. Talking about the Philistine, he had a man that bore his shield. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. In other words, he started making fun of him. He's a big bully, you know. And man, he ain't been threatened yet. All of a sudden now, here's a little boy. I remember one time when I was little. Does anybody know Gerald Gwynn? If you ever know Gerald Gwynn, you'd have to laugh when I mention the name because he could tell a tale, boy. But he talked about when he was young, he said he picked a fight with this bunch of boys. And he said, I picked out the littlest one in the bunch and said, that's the one I want. Said he run up me and hit me in the chin, knocked me in the next cut. He said he run up me like a buzzsaw, hit me around the chin and put me out. He said, I picked the littlest one in the bunch. Well, this guy, he's never been confronted before. He's never had an answer before. And now all of a sudden, can you imagine this, Trevor? Here's a little boy about like you. And this giant looks down and says, who are you? Who do you think you are coming out against me? And David's sitting there thinking, oh boy, you just don't realize what's fixing to happen to you. Now, we're going to get into this in just a minute. I'm sure y'all heard it before. I like being reminded.
Yeah, that's right.
I like being reminded, praise God, I'm on the winning side, you know?
Right.
The odds look terrible here for David. Well, this giant here, he disdains David, for he's but a youth, a ruddy and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? No, he said, all you got's a stick. You ain't even got a sword.
Right.
I mean, here he is. He said, I'm fixing to cut you in two, and you ain't got nothing but a little stick to defend yourself. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. I want you to listen, David, to answer here. I kind of got this on a slow train. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Notice this verse right here. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand,
and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee and will give the carcasses, listen, he's stopping at Goliath, and will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He said, I ain't stopping with you, buddy.
That's right. That's right.
He said, you're just the first one I'm going to take out.
That's right.
That's right.
Now, you talk about faith. That's what I talk about seeing dogs sometimes. You don't see what another dog is. Yeah. Then they get down rolling. I like to do some of that. I like to roll in it right there and get some of that on me. And go out there and say, bring it on, devil. Hit me with your best shot. I mean, buddy, that's hard to miss what he's saying. He said, I'm not just going to kill you. I'm going to kill the Philistines today, this day.
Yeah.
And I'm going to feed all of you to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. And all the assembly, all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. Now, remember, there's a national emergency. Nobody's answered it. They're all, just for lack of better words, same old, nothing's been done, because that's all they know to do is nothing. And here somebody shows up, he's willing to do something, his brother criticizes him, his king says, you just can't do it, you're just a youth. And you know, Goliath says, hey, you come here with a stick, I'm fixing to give your carcass to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. I mean, here he is. He's just been, accused and belittled. Yet he's still speaking in faith.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He said, the Lord, it's the Lord's battle. He'll give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose. In other words, it's getting ready to get on. It came during the night to meet David. Now in my mind, I can see this big giant getting up. And here he comes. And I mean, it's quite a threat. I can just see Israel people running plumb out of their shoes.
That's right.
You know, tails Amen. Tucked and yellow streak up their back. Mm-hmm. Here comes this big giant. He's shaking the ground. And he's coming running towards David. Now read real carefully here. To meet David, that David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took hence a stone, not five. He wasn't using buckshot. He took a stone, I like this terminology, and he slung it. I would have said in hillbilly terms, he slung it.
Yeah.
But anyway, he slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard a lot of men comment about this, and they said Goliath had everything covered but one little small circle right there. And he said that was just right for that rock fit right in there. And David put that crown and rock right in that hole, and he flopped like a fish on the ground. I mean, buddy, he face planted his big Goliath head with that big helmet of brass.
Yeah.
And I can just see him down there. What happened? And while he's trying to get his wits together with Brother Mitchell, I mean, buddy, David's backing up every word he said. He's not just a sayer, he's a doer. The Bible tells us to be not hearers only, but doers.
Amen.
Well, listen, buddy, he's backing it up. I mean, this big giant has done a face plant. Kind of, he's on the ground. He's flopping like a fish. He's trying to figure out how did this happen. What the heck's going on?
Yeah.
Verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Now David's done talked about taking this guy's head off.
Yeah, right.
David, he ain't got a sword. But he's done said, I'm going to take your head off. You know what he does? He gets Goliath's sword out.
Yeah.
That big saw, I can see him now dragging it out. I mean, it probably looks like a big McCulloch chainsaw, probably got a 50-inch bar on it, you know. It don't tell the weight of it, but I'll tell you right now, I see it's a double handful.
Right.
Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took the sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now notice this next verse. Now you know David shouted for the battle. Remember that?
Yeah.
Look at here. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted. Amen.
Yeah.
And pursued the Philistine.
That's right.
Until thou comest to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. Now they've been cowering down over there, and I can just imagine how this shout's been swelling up. They're just kind of hoping this goes well. Here's this little boy out there and a 9.5-foot giant with a coat of mile, 156 pounds, with a spear, with a 37-pound spearhead on it. And buddy, listen, he's sitting there, and he's somewhat of a opponent. And here David runs out there, and I mean, look here, Jared, he slings this rock. But I believe God put it right where it needed to be.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
What's that old saying? The bigger the other, the harder. I can just see it. I can just see this big giant here. I can just see him now as he's falling.
Right.
He said, what happened?
Yeah, that's right.
I can just see this going through his mind. How? You know, Trump got elected, and they said, how did this happen?
Yeah.
You know, he said, why ain't I ahead?
Yeah. Right.
And then look at the difference. You talking about rocking the boat in Washington? Man, they've been screaming ever since. They've been trying every way in the world to get him. I got a feeling he's there to stay. Now, I'm not trying to get political, but I'll tell you what, I thank God for a prayer that says we're going to get God back in America.
Yeah.
We're going to put America first.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to give America back to the citizens of America.
Amen.
We're going to put a wall up, protect America. And I'll tell you what, I see the glass falling one by one.
Amen.
Saying, what the heck's going on?
Yeah, that's right.
Man, I hate to say it, but I'm kind of glad God put him in there.
Yeah.
I don't know who else could have done what he's doing.
That's right.
Except the Lord.
Amen.
Now when the Lord comes, it's going to be a level playing field, Mitchell.
Yes, right.
Because they're all going to try to find a place to hide.
Yeah, right.
Because he ain't coming back as a lamb. He's coming back as a roaring lion. And I tell you right now, boy, they ain't going to be able to find enough hiding places to get out of his way.
That's right.
Oh, my. Well, listen. It gets even better. These men of Israel and these men of Judah, they're shouting now. They're pursuing these Philistines. Man, I can just see them. They're in hot pursuit. And they're just, I mean, gaining all the time. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shakaram, even unto Gath. Ain't that where Goliath was from?
Yeah.
I can see them trying, oh my God! I can see them open the door. Open the door. And they're running for all they can run. And into Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines. And look at here. They spoiled their tents. You know what?
That's right.
Boy, ain't nothing tastes better than victory.
That's right.
They said, look what they left behind.
Yeah. We're going to take it now. Right.
Man. I can see them down there. Look what they left behind here. Look at this nice sword. Look at this nice clothes and armor and these shoes, these horses. And all of us, I don't know what it would call spoiling that day, but I'll tell you this, I know who it belonged to.
Yeah.
And they're happy. They're shouting. Look here, what David took. Look here, what David took. And David took the head of the Philistine. That's his fall.
Yeah, right.
He got his trophy.
Yeah.
And brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. In other words, he said, I got his head. I got his armor. And when Saul saw David, Saul, that's pretty good, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
When Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, that's his captain of his host, his general, he said, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son the stripling is. He's about your size, Tegan.
Yeah.
You know what? He's got a giant's head in his hand.
Right.
And they're saying, who is that guy? And you know what? The same God that delivered David that day, he's there for you, buddy.
Yes.
So when your bullies come up against you, just remember this right here. God's
all you need.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, I have a lot of bullies. I have a lot of people hate me. That don't bother me a bit. As long as God's for me, I'm okay with it.
That's right.
You know what? He told Abraham, he said, Abraham, fear not. Genesis 15:1. I don't know what Abraham was afraid of, but God said, Abraham, fear not. He said, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward.
That's right.
That helps me sleep.
That's right.
I don't have to worry about some other one coming and wanting to cut my head off.
Right.
And if they did, they'd have to pick it up by my ear. I ain't got no hair. I don't have to worry about it. Because listen, no weapon formed against me can prosper. He just had a shooting this week. A guy just grunted at a plant in Aurora, Illinois, and he went in and shot five people dead, or maybe four and himself, made five total. But I'll just tell you this. He couldn't kill me. I agree he could take this body back down to the dust it came from. But to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord.
Amen.
What was that song about the river?
Yeah.
That's where you'll find me. We'll know as we're known. You'll see, there he is! There's an old shout preacher, amen! He's already here, amen!
That's right.
Thanks be to God to give us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's going to be a lot of Goliaths. They're going to come and go. But listen here. Whose strapling is this? And as David returned from the slaughter. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Right.
From the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. I can just see this.
Mm-hmm.
David said, you ain't got nothing to worry about, King. I got it took care of, boy. And Saul said unto him, Whose son art thou? Thou young man? He's about stuttering here. Who art thou, thou young man? David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. Now listen. Let me see if I can get back to my notes. I don't know if I can or not. David went with God. He trusted not in the might of worldly weapons.
That's right.
He trusted not with worldly advantage or worldly strength. The Bible mentions there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look, the devil's like Goliath. He's going to try to provoke you.
Right.
He's going to try to intimidate you. He's going to try to say, hey, you're no match for me. I've got news for you. He's got both teeth knocked out. He didn't even have a stinger left. I mean, Jesus took his body through death to destroy him, had the power of death, that is the devil. And look there, he got the keys now. And he said the gates of hell can't prevail against the church of the living God. I mean, buddy, we're greater than David. Our God's greater. The one that was with David. The one that gave him the courage, gave him the faith, gave him the victory. He's here with us. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Hey, listen. They met on the battlefield. The giant falls. Goliath didn't even get his sword out of the sheath. He didn't even know what hit him. Verse 51. God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's still there for you and me just like He was for David. He's still able. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they stood before Nebuchadnezzar? And Nebuchadnezzar told him to bow down. He said, look, King, we're not careful to answer you. We know our God's able. Now, boy, that's some serious faith right there.
Right.
I mean, he done said there in the form and fire and fire. They said, we ain't careful to answer you. We know our God's able. Boy, that's the kind of faith, buddy. God looked down and said, hey, I'm honoring that kind of faith.
That's right.
Well, we got to figure out how to muster some of that up.
Yeah.
How many stand on that solid rock and say, hey, hold on just a minute here. Last time I checked, God's still on the throne and I belong to Him. And you just have to go through Him to get to me anyway, so we'll just let the Lord make a determination about this.
Right.
Man, casting all your care upon Him, Brother Mitchell.
Yeah.
He cares for you. Man, I done read the end of this book. I already know how it's going to end.
Amen.
And the one that made the statement, he said he declared the end from the beginning, Isaiah 46:10, and he said his counsel would stand, but come what may, I'm telling you right now, his will is still going to get done. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
And it may get worse and worse under the end, but praise God, it gets sweeter and sweeter. Thanks to Him. Goliath didn't even get his sword out of his sheath. arrows on Judah. Man, they're shouting, they're pursuing. Let me say, there's victory. And that victory's in the Lord.
Yeah.
We're going to have national emergencies. Don't let it get the best of you. You're going to hear the rhetoric. You're going to hear the news media. I just realized that the news media, they just play one song. Gloom, despair, agony on me, deep dark depression, excessive misery. If it wasn't for that look, I'd have no look at all. Gloom, despair, agony on me. Look at that, love it. Man, oh man, we're going to get out of this mess. As messed up as man has made it down here, God has prepared a place for us. And He said, I'm going to come and get you and take you home. Amen. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let the Goliath come. Father, we thank You for this message, Lord. I hope it encouraged Your children. I hope it caused our prayer life, Lord, to grow. That our faith, Lord, might be, Lord, increased. And I pray, Lord, not knowing what does come our way. We don't even know what a day is going to bring. Lord, You're already way ahead of us. You've already, Lord, looked into all that's going to come our way.
Yes.
And the devil has to get permission even to come up against us. I'm glad You put a hedge around Job and he's no little like the wall. I'm glad You're for the wall. You put a hedge about Job and the devil couldn't even get to him because of that wall. And Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for all You do for us. We thank You and praise You. Whatever needs to be done here, Lord, let it be for Your glory. In Jesus' name. All right. We'll get Sister Sharon and Brother Jerry. They would please get a verse of invitational hymn. I'd ask everybody to stand. Look, you may not be having no glass, but just remember this. When you do have one, get a second opinion. Don't let Goliath believe you. Don't let him tell you that God's not able. Don't let him do you like Nebuchadnezzar and said, who is that God that will deliver you out of my hand? He's all I need. He's my all in all. Amen. He's the great physician. He told them Pharisees in Luke chapter 13, they said, Herod will kill you. He said, go tell that fox I do cures today. He's not intimidated by man. Man, he's greater than all. We'll shut up right there.
Number 203 in the blue book.